Nesmith Church. It's so good to see y'all. Thank y'all so much for allowing me to come and be here. It is such an honor to get to share God's word with you today, and I'm so thrilled that that Pastor allowed me to do that. And let's just continue to pray for him. How many of you know that your pastor needs a break every now and then? Amen? Amen? How many of you appreciate your pastors and his wife? Amen? Praise God. So what we're going to do today, we're going to just say a quick prayer over him too. Just a special prayer, refreshing, and just that God would give him a fresh vision for 2021. I mean, the Bible says, Paul talked about it like this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And in the pastor relationship, that's kind of the way it is. He's saying, follow the direction the Lord gives me as I'm following what God gives me. So I want us to pray right now for him and his precious wife. And her name is, again, it's Brandy, I guess. I just want to be sure I had that right. I'm good with faces, not so good with names. I mean, if you can agree with, okay, all right, I'm not alone in here. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you for Pastor Stetton and Sister Brandy. And I pray that on this getaway, that they would just be so completely refreshed, spirit, mind, soul, and body. Lord, bless them today. Strengthen them today. Give them the incredible fresh vision for 2021 for Nesmith Church, the direction you want this house to go. We thank you for incredible new levels, new heights. Thank you for breaking out just incredible new gifts and talents among people. Thank you, Father, for your blessing on them, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Listen, this morning I pray that what I have is going to encourage you, and I am so grateful, and I know that you are too, for the incredible, wonderful, radical grace of God. How many of you are grateful for that? The unmerited, the unearned, the undeserved blessing and favor and forgiveness of God. That is what we're talking about this morning. That's what my message is on this morning. Now, before I jump into it, I just want to make a few statements. We know that the grace of God is freedom from sin. It's not freedom to sin. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 6. He said, there are some people that say, well, let's just keep on sinning so that grace can just abound more and more. Paul said, certainly not. He said, those that think like that deserve their condemnation. So he makes it clear that the grace of God is just not freedom to sin, but it's freedom from sin. And I just want to talk about that this morning. And in doing so, I found it so interesting that so many people, Christian people, they still struggle with not being good enough. And I just want you to shut your eyes here for a second, because I want to ask that question this morning. How many of you in this room right now, you still battle with thoughts of the enemy that I'm just not good enough for God? Let me see your hand if that's you. Come on, wave it at me. Man, that's a lot of people in this room. And I would dare say that the same ones are, you still deal with condemnation for something in your past. Condemnation. Well, my prayer this morning on the first service of 2021 is that when you leave this house, you're going to leave that behind today. That's what I'm believing. So what I want to do, I want you to stand with me one more time. I love to honor God's word as we read it. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. And I want you to get this in your spirit today. Listen to what this scripture says. It says, for by that one offering, that's talking about the cross, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Father, I pray that this word will penetrate, saturate, and just get in us today. And I pray you'll move Darren out of the way one more time. All I can do is open my mouth and speak it. But you've got to take it, and you've got to make it, God, something that is powerful in each of our lives. You draw us. You keep us. You, God, do in us what you want done today. Save, deliver, heal, encourage. Do it all this morning. We trust you. We need you. We acknowledge you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says together, amen. Amen. Praise God. I want you to listen to that scripture one more time. It says, for by that one offering, God forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Let me just start off by making this announcement today. If you are saved, if you've come to know the Lord Jesus, if he is in your heart, watch me. The cross of Jesus Christ has made you perfect. Now, the reason I don't get a lot more amens on that, and the reason I don't get a lot of a louder shout on that, is because probably many of you are thinking the way that I do sometimes. How in the world can you say that? How can you say that I have been made perfect? Because number one, my actions prove that I am not perfect. My thoughts prove that I'm not perfect. My words prove that I'm not perfect. Anybody with me? All of those things point the finger at me and testify, see there, you are not perfect. But it's important to understand something about this verse. The first part of this verse is not talking about process, which has to do with your thoughts and your actions and your words. It's talking about position. Okay? Now, let me say this. Process starts with position. Think about it. If there's something broken in your shop or in your garage, the first thing that has to happen before you fix it is you have to put it in a position to be fixed. It's got to go on your workbench, has to be moved into a shop. It has to be put in position to go through a process of being made new or being made whole. I want to throw a word at you this morning that maybe you've never heard before. Some of you may have, but it's a very funny word, and I'm going to come back to it and talk about it a little bit later in the message. But it's a word called kintsukiori. Now, what in the world is kintsukiori? Let me tell you what it is. It's the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery. Now, all you need to know about it right now is this, that when a person, an artist who deals in kintsukiori, whenever they see a broken vessel, what he does, that artist will take that vessel and he will place it on his workshop or on his workbench, and at that moment, it is in position to begin a process. And at that point, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of it. Doesn't matter what anybody else says about it. Doesn't matter if anybody else thinks it's a waste of time. It is in position now, and all that matters is what the artist sees, what the artist thinks, and what he says about it. In the mind of the artist, it is in the position of perfection because it's in his hands and he knows what he can do with it. See, this is what happened to you and me the moment we accepted and trusted Jesus. Jesus, God took you and placed you in Christ Jesus. That is called justification. And if you've heard the definition of justification before, it means very simply, just as if you've never sinned. The Bible says this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says, it is of God that you are in Christ Jesus. Now, let me give you a simple illustration on this that I'm sure you've seen before. This is you right here, this envelope. This represents you. This is you and all of your mistakes, your imperfection, your bad performance yesterday or a week ago or even today. This is you and all those words and actions and thoughts that are so imperfect. But when you trusted Jesus, God took you, and then he took Jesus. This is the word of God. The Bible says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is Jesus. He put you inside Christ Jesus, shut the book, and now when God looks at you, he's not seeing you. He sees Jesus, his righteousness, his perfection, his goodness. It's been given to us as a gift. Listen, the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Listen to this. It says, this is the main point, that we have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. Now, notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that the main point is our good works. It doesn't say the main point is our performance today. It says the main point is we have a high priest. The high priest is the one who intercedes for the people. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, that Jesus intercedes for us before the Father. So, let me just explain how this worked. And a lot of you know this, but just bear with me. Let's go back to the Old Testament for a second. The way that God cleansed sin in the Old Testament, it was called the Day of Atonement. You remember that. God, what he didn't do is he didn't look at 6 million Jewish people and go, okay, Day of Atonement. So let's go ahead and account for you one by one. Okay, you messed up. You messed up. You did wrong. You did wrong. You messed up. You were imperfect. You failed. You failed. You failed. Well, guess what? If that would have happened that way, everybody failed. Because all of us do. So God didn't judge everybody individually one by one. But instead of taking 6 million people one by one, he took 6 million people and he judged them in one man. And that one man was the high priest. And the high priest went through a process of purification so that when God looked at the high priest, if the high priest was holy, if the high priest was righteous, if the high priest was good, that meant the people were good and the people were holy and the people were righteous. Thank God we have a great high priest who is forever holy, forever perfect, and forever righteous, and his name is Jesus, and we have been placed inside of Christ Jesus. For those of you this morning, you're wondering how God thinks about you, if you're wondering how he feels about you, let me ask you this question. Does God the Father, is he satisfied with Jesus? Is he? That means he's satisfied with you. When he looks at Jesus, is Jesus righteous? That means you're righteous. Is Jesus holy? Yes, that means you're holy. That means everything that Jesus is has been imputed. It's been given to your account. All of us, because we're in Christ, we have the righteousness of God. It says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we would become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There it is. Listen to me. Righteousness is not a reward for all of your good works and deeds. Righteousness is a gift that we received because we trusted what Jesus has done for us. We don't do good things to attain righteousness or to get righteous. We do good things because we already have righteousness. If we can get that in our head and remember that, our life will literally, literally change. Think of it like this. Go back to the Old Testament for a second, because everything in the New Testament has got a shadow and a type in the Old Testament. The Ark of the Covenant, we all know what that was. That was that big gold box that contained three things. It held Aaron's rod that budded, a jar of manna that came from heaven, and it held the Ten Commandments. It held the law. The law always speaks of judgment. It always speaks of punishment. And the law was inside that box. But what was on top of that box was a lid called the mercy seat. And that's where the high priest would pour the blood of a lamb on top of that mercy seat. So think about this. When God in heaven, when he's looking down on that box, what does he see? Before his eyes could fall on the law, which was judgment and punishment, his holy eyes fell on the mercy seat first. He couldn't see the law because all he could see was its fulfillment. That's the blood on top of the mercy seat. Listen, thank God, because of Jesus, who is our propitiation, it says in 1 John 2:2, which propitiation, it literally means mercy seat. Because Jesus is our mercy seat, when God looks at us, he doesn't see the law. He sees the law fulfilled in Jesus. He doesn't see punishment. He sees punishment fulfilled. He doesn't see judgment. He sees judgment fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now notice the law doesn't go anywhere. Jesus said, look, not one jot or tittle of the law is going to pass away. The law is still there. But Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with it. I came to fulfill it. And that's what he did for us. He fulfilled it in Jesus. Well, Darren, what about all my sin? Well, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we would become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. The act of Jesus forgiving our sin was not a linear act. It was an eternal act. Now, what in the world are you talking about there? Let me explain. Linear has to do with time. We all are linear people. What that simply means is, if this is our timeline right here, we're born here, we die here. It simply means that we're caught in that timeline. We have to go forward. We don't have the ability to go backwards and forwards in time. We don't have that ability. We're stuck in it. We have to live it day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. We travel on it and we see it like this. That's the way we look at it. But God is eternal. He's not linear. I've often liked to say it like this. God created time, but he's not bound by it. The Bible says that God is the beginning and he is the end. It says he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. See, eternity is not bound by time. So when we look at a timeline like this, God sees it just like that. He knows the end from the beginning. It makes sense when the Bible says that with God, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day? Doesn't matter to God, because he's eternal. He's not linear. He gets it all. So my point is this: when Jesus paid the price for our sin, the God-man, he didn't pay them one at a time as we committed them. No, he took all sin for all humanity for all time, and he placed it upon himself. I believe that that's what the cross, one of the things that the cross symbolizes. Think about it. Jesus is on a cross like this, right? Now think about it. With one hand, he's reaching to our birth. With the other hand, he's reaching to the end of our life, saw all of our sin, took every bit of it, and he placed it on himself. I'm telling you, that is what God has done for all sin, for all humanity, for all time. It is finished. It is done for. Thank God the cross of Jesus has forever overpaid and dealt with and forgiven our sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, period, if you've trusted him. And listen, the blood of Jesus, it doesn't just barely cover our sin. It overwhelmingly covers our sin. You ever heard the phrase, an ant has no quarrel with a boot? You ever heard that? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but it's true. You think about it. An ant and a boot, there's no quarrel there. There's no committee meeting. There's no board meeting. There's no Congress there to meet or stuff, whatever. You just, that's it. Sorry, you don't have a voice. It's so overwhelming. It's so much bigger. It's beyond our comparison to compare the two. But let me just say it like this. Your sin has no quarrel with the cross of Jesus Christ. Before sin can even make an argument, it slams out lust and anger and jealousy and murder, homosexuality, anarchy, adultery. Thank God his grace is greater than all our sin when we go to him and trust him with it. Well, Darren, are you telling me that people can just sin all they want to and they can just get away with it? No, no, no. Listen to me. Sin has consequences, and it should. But here's the way I like to say it. Sin has an eternal consequence. That part has been forever paid for if it's cashed in on. Sin also has what I want to call a linear consequence. That means even though you can be forgiven of a sin here, there are a lot of sins that you will still pay the price for on this earth. For instance, hey, if you speed, you're probably going to get a ticket at some point. That's a linear consequence. You can be forgiven of it. Yeah. Wiped off your record. You still don't have to pay it. If you steal, you're caught. You're going to go to jail. You can be forgiven of that, but you're still going to jail. You commit murder or a heinous crime against a child. Can that be forgiven? Absolutely. The cross has forever taken away that sin. But I believe personally that person needs to go to jail and the key thrown away. Some people may even face the death penalty and have. There are linear consequences to sin. Those things have to be paid here by us. But thank God the eternal consequence has forever been paid. So that's why God says he wants us to run from it, because he hates how it damages our lives. But thank God the eternal consequence has been paid because of the cross of Jesus. I want to say it like this. All of us in this room, every person, we've been pre-forgiven if we'll cash in on it. It's like when you go to the mailbox. Some of you may have gotten a piece of mail like this. I know I have. They're usually credit card offers. You pull out the envelope and it says on the outside, congratulations, you have been pre-approved. Y'all ever seen that? Well, my goodness, I haven't done nothing to deserve that. I didn't do anything to earn that. But hey, I'm pre-approved. All right. Well, I got one of two choices. I can rip it up and throw it in the garbage, which is what most of us do with those offers. I did one of that yesterday. Or I could open it up, fill it out, send it in, and cash in on the benefits. Can I tell you this? I believe every person that's ever born on this earth has been pre-approved and predestined for a life in Jesus and a home in heaven. But we have the choice of we can rip that up and throw that away and face the consequence eternally later, or we can cash in on it and believe it and receive the benefits of it. All of us have been pre-approved, pre-forgiven, predestined to be in Christ Jesus. It's like when I was preaching a few months ago, I was doing an outdoor meeting in Red Bay, Alabama, We were doing an outdoor service and in a park there in the middle of the city. And while we were doing the service, there was a mom and her older daughter that had come in to that service. Now, they weren't looking for that. They were just walking down the sidewalk, and they just happened to come up on our service there. And so they stopped and they listened, and they had a seat on one of the concrete benches there. And at the end of the service, I made an invitation for people to come forward or to pray. And as that was going on and the worship band was playing, I just felt like the Lord told me to walk up to this couple. And so I did, and as I went up there, God just started breaking on them, man. I mean, they just started weeping just out of nowhere, and God just began to touch them, and they just began to talk about how they were having some very hard family problems. And they also revealed that they needed to get their own lives right with the Lord. They knew that they weren't right with God. Well, in that park, they got it right with Jesus, and they got up with joy, tears flowing. God's given us hope for our family. We are so glad that we ran in on this. I want to tell you what happened in that moment. God had orchestrated a pre-approved moment for them to be forgiven and restored and to walk away with hope. I'm telling you, that is exactly what God does for all of us. We are pre-approved when we cash in on it, when we trust Jesus. But what about my actions, Darren? What about those things that I do that are habitual, things that I can't get rid of, things that the enemy uses to condemn me? Well, this is where the second part of Hebrews 10:14 comes in. By that one offering, he has forever made perfect, positionally, those who are being made holy. That's the process part. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. It promises us the Holy Spirit makes us more and more like him, Jesus, as we are changed into his glorious image. Now, there are some things that instantly happen to some people when they get saved. There are some people that when they get saved, they're instantly delivered from drugs and alcohol. They are. But for others, it's a process. In the same way, some can be instantly delivered from an addiction, but they still have a problem with their temper. That's a process. Others can be delivered from fear instantly, but they have a problem releasing and forgiving somebody. My point is this. All of us in this room have something in our lives that require process. All of us do. Now, what's the process, Darren? It's like that old lyric that, I can't remember the artist that sang it, but it was a song that had this line in it. It said, Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. In the same way, God has put us in Christ Jesus, and now we have to get Christ Jesus in us. Well, how do you do that? Best way I can describe it and illustrate it is something that happened to me, gosh, I guess probably 20 years ago. I started really having some weird things happen in my body. The biggest thing was that I started just swelling up. I mean, my face was swollen. My body was swelling up. I ballooned out to a size 42. I wear a size 36 waist. My muscles would ache and cramp. They would burn. Doing any type of motor skill, brushing my teeth or playing the piano, my forearms would burn. Brushing my hair back when I had it back then, amen. That would just burn. To take a walk, my waist would burn. I would have to stop sometimes and try to stretch out my muscle because it would cramp up. Something was happening. I was shutting down. My voice was leaving me. I was turning yellow. Everything was just closing in on me. And I'd gone to a doctor. He didn't know what was going on with me. I went to a guy that was now that became my family doctor. He did a blood test, and what they came down to find out was, he said you've got a thyroid level that's off the charts. He said he said it basically doesn't work anymore. On the blood test, we did a blood test. Your thyroid level, a normal level, is about a 2 or a 3. Yours is above 200. And you're in a stage right now called myxedema, which means the next stage for you is you go into a coma and you die. I'm like, oh, goodness, how is this going to be fixed? And he said, well, what I'm going to do is give you these pills. There is thyroid hormone. You got to take one a day. And I want you to be on this for a few weeks and then come back and let me check on how you're doing. So I went home that night, took my pill, swallowed it, went to bed, got up the next morning, looked in the mirror. There was no change. I felt no better. I felt no different. So I took that medicine. I said, this doesn't work, and I threw it in the garbage. I didn't do that. I did not do that. But a lot of people do that with a relationship with Jesus. God, I got saved, and I'm still cussing. God, I got saved, and I'm still dealing with that mess I was dealing with. God, I got saved, and my family's not better. God, I got saved, and this prayer isn't answered yet. God, I got saved. This doesn't work. I've given it a day. Throw it in the garbage. We know it doesn't work like that a lot of times. There's process that has to happen. So I didn't throw that medicine away. You know what I did? I just kept getting it in me. Just get it in you. Say that with me this morning. Just get it in you. So for the first several days, maybe first couple of weeks, I'm not really seeing any change. That's okay. Just get it in you. And then all of a sudden, one day, I'm noticing I'm not quite as sore as I used to be. Wow, just get it in you. Few weeks later, I'm noticing my jeans are baggy. 38, 37, just get it in you. My voice is starting to come back over time. Just get it in you. I can start brushing my teeth again. I don't burn anymore. Just get it in you. Until finally, over a process, I'll go back to my doctor. I'm back down to a size 36. I've got my voice back. I'm not cramping anymore. You're at the level you need to be. Now what you have to do now is stay on this level and just keep getting it in you. And I tell you, that's the way it is in our relationship with Jesus. Now listen, Jesus is not our pill, but he is our cure. And every day we have to just get him in us. We get the word in us. We spend time. We talk to him. And as we do that, what's going to happen is there's going to come a day you're going to get mad at somebody and boop, that word's going to come out, and all of a sudden it's going to be like, that didn't sound right. That doesn't feel good anymore. All of a sudden you're going to see something you were comfortable seeing months ago. All of a sudden you're going to turn that computer on and you might look at it and you go, you know what? That just doesn't feel right anymore. See, it is a good sign whenever godly conviction comes into your life and you feel bad about something. That's a good sign. It means God is saying, I'm changing you to look like Jesus. That stuff's not fitting in your life anymore. That's reason to lift your hands and say, thank God, praise God. He's keeping his word. I'm becoming more and more like Christ. And the answer is, just keep getting him in me. Day by day, you're being transformed. I'm starting to love people that I didn't love before. It's so weird. I don't know how. It's like you're almost uncomfortable. There's a love that's coming out of me that's not me. Just get him in you. See, he's forming himself in you. It doesn't matter how broken you are. Your position is righteous, and you are being made beautiful in holiness. That takes me back to Kintsukuri, the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery. Let me tell you how that's done. It's done by mending the areas of breakage with lacquer that's been dusted or mixed with powdered gold, silver, or platinum. Now, what I want to do is, I hope you can see this. I'm going to come down there. I'm going to show you a piece of pottery that's been treated by Kintsukuri. Do you see that? You see those gold lines? That's where it was broken. Can you see that back there? I think that's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of pottery, and there's all those gold lines. That's where it had been shattered, but now it's been mended, and it's been made beautiful. You see, the enemy wants to convince you that because you're broken, you are less worthy, you are less valuable, that you need to live in shame because of your past, that you're unfit for God to use. But see, this is what I love about Kintsukuri. It repairs the vessel with the understanding that the piece is now more valuable for having been broken. It's more beautiful. It's of greater use for having been broken. It doesn't treat breakage and repair as something to hide, but it treats it as part of its history. You see, that was just an earthen vessel before it was broken. But now it's an earthen vessel that holds a treasure. And the treasure is now what is holding it together. It makes it valuable, more useful. Kintsukuri is the perfect illustration of who we are in Christ. Yes, you might be a broken earthen vessel, but you're a vessel that now has a treasure inside of him. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The silver, the gold, the platinum is Christ in you, and it's Christ in you who now holds you together, makes you more valuable, makes you more beautiful, and makes you more useful. Listen, Jesus is reminding somebody this morning that you don't have to treat your past as something to hide, but you can treat it as just part of your history. And we know what the definition of history is, don't we? It is His story. It is His story of how He delivered you, saved you, changed you, redeemed you, made you more beautiful, more worthy, more righteous, more useful than you've ever been. Listen, your sin and your past is no match for the cross of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, even to our very conscience, so we can serve the living God. I love the Greek tense of that scripture. It means to be continuous. In other words, it's like the picture of a large waterfall, and you're all dirty and muddy, but you step under that waterfall and you get cleansed, okay? But then you might walk out of that waterfall and get dirty again and have to come back. But the tense of this scripture, it literally means it's like you carry the waterfall with you, and you're put under that waterfall, and there is where you stay. And so when something happens, it gets on you, you are constantly being cleansed. Did you know that according to that scripture, you are living under the waterfall of God's forgiveness? Now, does that mean we don't have to confess our sin anymore? No, it doesn't, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When a person is really repentant, they're going to say, Lord, I am sorry for what I've done. I confess my sin. I trust the blood of Jesus to make me clean. And God's already looked at your heart. He's cleansing you, even to your conscience. Up here where it says you're not worthy, up here where it's condemning you, He cleanses your conscience so you can serve the living God. We all love 1 John 2:1. If any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We know that word advocate means lawyer. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but maybe some of you have had to go in front of a judge before. Think about it. If you were in that predicament, maybe you got a great defense attorney. And maybe you're comfortable with him, and he's assuring you, look, listen, we got this thing taken care of. It's going to be okay. Yeah, I know you're guilty, but it's okay. We've got it taken care of. I've got an argument. We're going to get out of this. And maybe you're hearing him, and maybe he gives you some comfort, but you're still scared of that judge. You're walking into that courtroom, and you got to face that judge. Now, can you imagine with me, as you're walking into that courtroom, you and your attorney, he walks in, he sits you down behind the defendant's table. Imagine your shock when he passes the defendant's table. He walks on up behind the judge's bench, and he has a seat behind it, and he goes, I told you I had this covered. You find out that the judge of all righteousness is also your defense attorney. That means the trial is over. That means the guilt is gone. Did you know that's the way it is in the court of heaven? We never see that in a court in this country, but that's what happened in the court of heaven. The judge of all righteousness is also your defense attorney. It is finished because of Jesus. I love the way that one preacher put it one time. He said, you don't have the legal right to go back to your past except for one reason, and that's to dance over what God brought you out of. Amen? So much of supernatural victory is just basic math. 2 + 2 = 4. If you know the equation, you can solve the problem. My son is a math whiz, my oldest son. It's like a language to him. He solves problems that have letters in them. Y'all ever seen those? I don't get that. But he can solve. If he knows the equation, he can solve the problem. We have a spiritual equation. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Here it is. Paul said, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had, talking about David, when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. And there it is. Believe plus speak equals victory and power. This is why it's so important to believe right about yourself and speak right what God says about you. Ephesians 1:6 says, God made us accepted in the beloved. Did you hear that? Where did He make us accepted? In the beloved. Why did He say beloved? Because He wanted to show us where our position was. Well, what are you talking about? Well, you remember in Matthew 3, when Jesus was baptized, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God is letting you know you're in the same position as Jesus. I put you in Christ. Now, I believe that the devil tries to get us to believe we're not loved. And I believe the devil tried to do this with even Jesus. And I got to give credit where credit was due. I was reading an incredible book this past year, and the author points this out. He talks about in Matthew 3, where God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Then you look in Matthew chapter 4, when the devil is tempting Jesus, and he says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread." Now, both of them acknowledge that he's the Son of God, but the devil leaves out one word. He leaves out the word beloved. Could it be that the devil was trying to get Jesus to believe that because of what he was going through, he was not loved? Oh, you're a son, but you just must not be a beloved son because of all that you're having to face. Maybe the enemy's been trying to tell you this morning, because of what you're going through, the trial you're facing, the temptations that you fight with, yeah, you're a son, you're just not a beloved son. Oh, you're a daughter, you're just not a beloved daughter. As a matter of fact, God sits up in heaven and he's always just mildly disgusted with you. Oh, there they go again, messing up. And now because I made that covenant, I got to go over here and forgive them. I got to help them. I got to be there for them. Anybody besides me ever have that picture of God? He's just mild. Listen, most of you raised your hands this morning. That's where that comes from. Not good enough. Condemnation, that God sits up there and he's like, "Yeah, I'll do it, but come on, man." That is not the way God's heart is toward you. How do you know that? Jude verse 24 tells me, "To him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with exceeding great joy." Does that sound like he's disgusted? Does that sound like he's mad? No, he gets joy from cleaning you up. He gets joy when you run to him. He gets joy when you trust what Jesus has done for you. Thank God, I heard somebody say it like this one time, we don't have a bad news gospel, we have a good news gospel, amen? The devil knows if he can convince you that you're not loved by your Father, you're going to go back to condemnation. You're going to go back to not good enough, unworthy, and that means you're going to go back to all your past junk. So how do we combat this? We use the math. We believe, we speak, and it equals victory and power. You know, if the battle comes with a thought, and it usually does, that means we can fight and win with a thought. It takes a thought to replace a thought. It takes a thought to beat a thought. And the best way to create a new thought is to believe it and speak it. Ephesians 1:6, use it the next time the enemy gets in your head. No, devil, the Bible says, "I am accepted in the beloved." That word accepted means highly favored. I am highly favored in the beloved. In the beloved, in the same category, in the same position that Jesus is in. Because Jesus is highly favored, accepted, and worthy and righteous, that means that I'm highly favored, accepted, worthy, and righteous. Every morning his mercies are brand new towards me. Every day he makes me look more and more like him. Those of you that raised your hands this morning, you need to say this over yourself right now. That because of Jesus, I am perfectly loved, I am perfectly accepted, and I am perfectly forgiven because of Jesus. Not anything you did. So here's the thing about grace. The second we try to balance out grace with a good work that we try to do to make up for what we've done, it nullifies grace and it's no longer grace. Grace is grace, unearned, undeserved, unmerited. And because I'm in Christ Jesus, I have to take it as a gift. So I want you to say this with me this morning. Let's do this little exercise. Just say this with me right now. I am. Come on, say it out loud. I am perfectly loved, perfectly accepted, and perfectly forgiven because of Jesus. Can you dare to believe that over yourself? Those of you that indicated, "I still struggle with not good enough." Those of you that were raising your hands, "I still struggle with condemnation." Can you dare to believe that this morning? I am perfectly loved. I am perfectly accepted, perfectly forgiven. God has not seen my sin anymore because the blood of Jesus has taken it far away as far as the east is from the west. You ever wonder why God said, I'll take your sin as far away from the north as from the south? He didn't say that, did he? You know why? Because there's a north pole, there's an end. There's a south pole, there's an end. But east and west, there are no poles. It's an infinite line. God said, I took them as far as the east is from the west. You'll never find them. Here's the issue. Some of you in here, you're perfectly forgiven by God. Now you need to forgive yourself. 2021, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Accept the gift that you just got from Jesus and forgive yourself. God wants you to catch this. Listen. As it comes to your relationship and your position in Christ, you don't have to earn anything, prove anything, or compare yourself to anybody because you're a highly favored, beloved child of God. Listen, God wants you to catch this. Getting ready to close. You know, evangelists say that about three times before they do. I'm just kidding. I really am. God wants you to catch this. How bad? Let me tell you how bad. You know, you're watching the World Series, okay? The batter hits a ball. There's nobody on base, but the batter hits a ball to shortstop. Shortstop gets it. Bam! What's the first thing shortstop's going to do? Where's he going with that ball? He's going to first base. Now, is he going to lob it? No. He's going to rear back, and he's going to fire that thing as fast and as hard as he can to first base, as straight as he can. So all first base has to do is raise his hand and go, pop! I caught it. That's all he has to do. Can I tell you something? At the cross, you know what God the Father did? He reared back and he hurled Jesus and every one of his benefits at you. And all we have to do is lift our hand and believe it. That's all we have to do. How do you know that? John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now notice it doesn't say to all who earned him, to all who worked for him. No, it says to all who received him. You know what that word received means in the Greek language? Catch. That's what it means. It means to catch. If I'm throwing a ball straight at you, that means I don't have to scramble for it. I don't have to move. I don't have to search. I don't have to put forth an effort. All I have to do is raise up my hand and receive it. Pop. You know what happens when you just believe what I'm talking about this morning? Pop, you're receiving. Jesus was hurled at us on the cross. We didn't have to work or search or find him. He found us. Ephesians 2:5 says, we were dead because of our sins, but he gave us life when he raised Jesus from the dead. How do we receive it? We believe it. We believe it. And the more we do that, guess what's happening? Process. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you growing up, did you ever have to look in the mirror and go, okay, today I've got to get an inch. I've got to grow 1 inch. All right, here we go. We got to go. Come on, we got to get this done. Come on, grow! Get up there! Anybody do that? You didn't do that. If you did, I got a good therapist I need to talk to. No, you didn't do that. But what did you do? You fed yourself. You took care of yourself. You just got things in you. And as you did, you know what happened naturally, reflexively? Through a process, you grew. This is what I'm talking about this morning. He's been hurled at us on the cross. And the more we believe it and receive it, say it over ourselves, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have been forever made perfect because I'm being made holy. Doesn't matter what my performance was today. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Jesus, I know I did some things that were wrong, but I'm feeling you lovingly deal with me because I feel bad about those things. That's a good sign. It means you're making me more like Jesus. I believe it. I receive it. What's happening? Process. You're becoming more and more like Jesus. How many of you are getting this morning? What's happening? You're being made holy because you've been forever made perfect. Now, how much does God love you? He loves you so much that when you are at your lowest, he will hurl, he will throw life and hope to you. In closing today, I want to show you one more picture. Some of you might know this. My wife has a little side business called Simply Vintage Designs, and she makes, I don't know if you can see this, she makes some of these beautiful handmade greeting cards. She does junk journals and stuff like that, and she's really blessed a lot of people with this stuff. But this particular card right here has a story behind it, and I want to tell you that story. As you can see, the card, it has a horse on it right there. And then right here is a quote by a lady that I'm going to tell you about. So let me go back to the beginning. My wife got a call from a lady, and the lady said, I want you to make a card for a friend of mine who is dealing with a terminal illness. And she said, all she told her was, she said, my friend loves horses. So just do something with horses. And Gretchen said, okay. How many of you remember the horse Secretariat? Some of you might know that name. Secretariat was probably the greatest racehorse that ever lived. There was a movie done by Disney about Secretariat. Great movie. Secretariat in 1973 won the Triple Crown. Now, the Triple Crown is the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness Stakes, and the Belmont Stakes. Now, it hadn't been done in 25 years up to that time. A lot of people thought it would never be done again. But Secretariat not only won the Triple Crown, but she's broke and still holds the speed records on all of those tracks. An amazing racehorse. Now, if you know the story of Secretariat, the owner was named Penny Chinnery. And Penny Chinnery literally bet the farm that Secretariat could win the Triple Crown. I mean, the farm was going down. Bottom line, if he won the Triple Crown, she'd save the farm. If she lost one race, farm goes under. Well, at the beginning of that movie, Secretariat, there's a scripture that's read out of the book of Job, and it talks about the horse. And my wife was putting this card together, and she said, honey, she said, you remember where that scripture was from out of the book of Job at the beginning of that movie? I said, I think I can find it, and so I found it for her. It's Job 39, and it talks about the horse when it says, it paws the earth and rejoices in its strength when it charges out to battle. It laughs at fear and is unafraid. It does not run from the sword. She took that verse and she put it inside this card. And then she took a quote by Penny Chinnery, which was said in the movie and in real life, when she was arguing with her brother about selling Secretariat to get some money to try to pay off the farm. And she said this quote, I can find my paper here. She said, this isn't about going back. This is about life ahead of you and you run at it because you never know how far you can run unless you run. And she took that quote and put it right there. Finished the card. I delivered it to the lady that ordered it, and the lady delivered it to her friend who had the terminal illness. It was maybe 2 or 3 days later, I guess. The lady that orders the card gets a message from the lady with the illness. And I want to read you that message. How could you possibly know that today was the day I simply gave up? I had no hope anymore and had secretly decided to just quit fighting. First time I had faced hopelessness. Your card arrived and I could not believe what I was reading. Penny Chinnery and Secretariat are my heroes. I have watched that movie so many times and I know it by heart, but what really spoke to me was the Bible verse from Job. That is my favorite book in the Bible, my go-to book when I get down. You were just amazing and I feel your prayers. Thank you is not enough to express my appreciation of your love and encouragement. I simply don't have the words to express how I feel about your kindness. You were truly a godsend, and you have lifted me up when I was at my lowest day of this journey. God bless you. You were truly an angel on earth. I love you. You know what happened in that moment? In that moment, God just hurled back and threw hope and encouragement and love at that lady at her lowest. Can I tell you something? God stands ready, and he's doing the same thing for each and every one of you for 2021. I don't care where you're at your lowest. If it's a trial or a temptation or it's something that you're dealing with beyond your control, listen to me. God will he will lean back and throw life at you. He will hurl at you hope, freedom, power, and favor. Why? Because you are a beloved child of God. And the next time the devil comes at you with not good enough and condemnation, I want you to remind him of all the junk that broke you. Remind him of Kintsukori. I am more beautiful. I'm more valuable. I am more usable for having been broken. There is a treasure inside this broken vessel, and he is the one that's now holding me together. That is who you are this morning. That is who you belong to this morning. Those of you today, at the beginning of this service, you lifted your hands up, you waved at me. I'm still dealing with not good enough. I'm still dealing with condemnation. This morning, you're going to walk out of here leaving that behind. Because this morning, you're going to believe who you are in Jesus. You're going to believe that he has forever made you perfect as he is making you holy. You're going to forgive yourself. You're going to forgive yourself. And you're going to walk out of here knowing that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation over my life, period. Isn't that good news? I want you to stand to your feet with me this morning. Father, I have done everything that I can do. I have preached this. I have spoken it out of my mouth. But Lord, unless you take it and make it powerful and alive inside of every heart, it doesn't do any good. But the Word of God is always alive and powerful. And I pray that, God, you're just honoring your Word right now. And Father, as this beautiful music's being played, there are people here that raise their hand that are just believing, that have been struggling with, I'm not good enough. But this morning, you're shouting, you're hurling at us, oh, I've made you perfect. You're not just good enough. God says, I've made you perfect. Not because of what you did, but because of the work of my Son for you on your behalf. You are clean. You are righteous because Jesus is clean and righteous. But God, you don't understand all this stuff that just runs against my nature. I know that I'm imperfect. I know the things I do. I know my sin. I know my thoughts. God says, I know you. I know all of it. I know everything about you perfectly, but I love you perfectly. I stand ready. That constant waterfall of forgiveness over your life. You are clean. You've just got to recognize it now. And you've got to confess that. So this morning, you're here. These altars are open, and there are people down here already. I want you to come. If you raised your hand this morning, you need to be down here if you can find a spot. I want you to come. Hey, can you spare, 5 minutes? Can you walk maybe 10 steps to have not good enough out of your life this morning? To have condemnation gone. Can you do that this morning? Listen, yeah, God can touch you in your seat, and I understand if you're not comfortable coming up here because of what all that's going on. I get that. God can touch you where you're at, but I want you to receive it where you're at right now. And if you lifted your hand, I want you to do it one more time. I want you to raise your hands because I'm with you, okay? Look at me. Darren English still fights the battle of not good enough. But thank God I've got weapons. I've got weapons. I know that I am because of Jesus. So I want you to raise your hand with me again if you said, I'm not good enough. Man, I deal with condemnation. Put it up one more time. Come on, one more time high. And I want you to say over yourself, because of the blood of Jesus. Come on, say it. I am perfectly loved. I am perfectly forgiven. I am perfectly accepted. Now say this over yourself. There is no condemnation because I'm in Christ Jesus. Period. Now I want you to thank God that you're in the same position as Jesus. I want you to say this scripture that we said, Ephesians 1:6. Say it with me. I am highly favored in the beloved. I'm in the same category as Jesus. I release you right now of all condemnation. I release you right now of all fear. I release you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I release you of all feelings of not good enough. God says you are. Can you receive that this morning? Let it change your year this year. Let it change your thoughts this year. Let it change your relationships this year. The most important thing I'll say this morning is right here, but right before we close, if you're here today and you know you're not right with God, and you've got to get some things right before you leave this room, now is your moment. Now is the time to do that. And if that's you, I just want you to say these words with me. Say them with me out loud. It's a simple prayer just to get it right with God, okay? He loves you. You don't have to do anything to make up for it. You don't have to do anything to make yourself worthy. That's garbage. You can never make yourself worthy. God, that's why God gave it as a gift. Say this with me. Lord Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died for me. And you rose again for me. Come into my heart. I give you my life fresh. I am yours, and I trust you now. In Jesus' name. God, everybody that prayed that prayer, they're new, they're clean, just like that. They're holy, just like that. I beg you, don't walk out of this room not right with God. Why? Why would you? Why go to hell? Why? The price has been overpaid. The price has been completely overpaid. Sin has been annihilated. Why in the world would anybody want to? Why would you choose to? Come to the Father. His arms are wide open. That's what the cross says. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Don't leave this room. Even if, I've already prayed that prayer, but if you still needed to pray it and you didn't, I beg you to come see me before you walk out this door. If there's anything between you and God and you haven't gotten it right, I beg you to come up here and see me before you walk out. After we say amen and everybody's dismissed, get up here, please, and talk to me, for goodness sake. And I feel like there's somebody in the balance still. Please get up here and talk to me. He loves you. He's after you. You are completely accepted. You are pre-approved. You're pre-approved. I'll say it one last time. I know you're getting sick of me saying it. You're pre-approved. Don't rip it up and throw it away. Aren't you glad that you're now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Those of you that believe, huh? Praise God for his wonderful gift. Lord, thank you for all you've done today. Thank you that we leave with no condemnation. Thank you that we leave with a fresh slate, God. We leave, Lord, with nothing on our conscience because of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus is cleansing us from all sin and even our conscience so we can serve you. Thank you for your wonderful gift. We give you the praise. Thank you for hurling Jesus at us at the cross. In Jesus' name. And everybody says together, amen. Amen. Praise God.